My mother stood at the kitchen sink, scrubbing the ancient cast iron pot, as though it was encrusted with the residue of mortal sins. Sins somehow fused into the metal. In fact, it was coated with scorched beef stew, tonight's dinner gone forgotten. She looked out the window and sighed so hard I would have sworn it was her frustration with herself and not the late afternoon breeze that moved the Spanish moss in the trees all across the yard. 80 was creeping up on her, snatching bits of her memory and stamina, and it infuriated her. No woman really wanted to be 80 and still working full-time, unless she was 90 and still working full-time. As for me, well, I was too old for leggings. Let's leave it at that. The window over the kitchen sink was propped up by a wooden spoon, held in a slightly lopsided position. As the heat of the day had broken, every window in the old house was raised, held open with a book or a Coke bottle or another household object. When the cool air of the afternoon wafted in, the house itself sighed in relief, or so it seemed. In any case, opening the windows was a ritual we performed at the same time every day, all summer long, year after year. You'd think someone would go to the hardware store and buy those little swinging hooks used for this very purpose, but no. Just like you'd think someone would have checked the stew before it burned. Still, even with all the open windows, you could have cut the humidity and the silence with a knife. "It was just a rump roast," I said. "We have hamburgers in the freezer. I'm happy with the burger." "You know I hate waste," she said. "So do I, but what's really the matter?" "Something else is bugging you," I said, not particularly eager for the answer. After a long silence, she said, "That diamond is a bad luck stone." "There's no such thing," I said. "Diamonds are diamonds." "My own flesh and blood doesn't have the brains to know when to be superstitious," she said. "Law, where did I go wrong? Oh, Mom." The diamond in question was given to me by my ex-husband when we became engaged over 30 years ago. It had been his mother's. That woman. Agatha was truly the most awful woman I have ever known, and I thank the good Lord every day for erasing her from my life. Still, my sweet mother honestly believed that poor single carrot was tainted with the DNA of my ex-mother-in-law's black heart. In the Low Country, we believed such things, or at least considered them. Maybe it was cursed. Anyway, Agatha, sure enough, ruined my marriage with all her meddling and second-guessing. That much was certain. But she didn't ruin my life. I was made of stronger stuff than she could ever imagine. I tied a bow around Duggan's big fat head and sent him right back up the highway, home to her apron strings in Raleigh, North Carolina. Due to his family's lack of interest, I raised our son, Fred, here on the farm in my parents' house. It wasn't the worst thing for him, or for me. I never heard a word from Duggan again, or his mother. When Fred went to college at Clemson, so did I. He became a CPA, and I earned a degree in agribusiness. Fred's now a young man, ready to propose marriage to the love of his life, Shelby Cambria. He would seal the deal with that diamond, his family's heirloom. What's my future daughter-in-law like? Let's just say I had more reservations about her than I did about the diamond. Shelby was a city girl, as poised and polished as one might imagine an urban young woman could be. She was sophisticated. But I feared she was too exacting, which made me nervous. She had to go for a run every day, or she said she couldn't function. Really? She only used soy milk in her decaf latte. Ick. She saw the dentist 4 times a year. Seemed excessive, unless she had a situation with her gums or something. She never cursed, at least not in front of me. Okay, but truly, she never had a credit card balance. Admirable, sort of. She only used a fountain pen when writing thank you notes. Prissy. Sorry, but it is. Her car had never run out of gas. Anal. To my mind, these were the characteristics of a perfectionist, which could lead to becoming small-minded and judgmental, unforgiving, and ultimately a cold wife. But I was keeping my mouth shut and zipped. As long as she loved my boy, I loved her. If she broke his heart, I'd kill her with my bare hands. This seemed reasonable to me.